highly anticipated debut album, Favorite Girl blends harmony, rock, and a dash of brass. Led by British songwriter Katie Vernon, who has been performing original melodic folk pop for over 25 years in the Twin Cities and in the United Kingdom. Opening the night are sets by Sarah Morris and Sally Ford. More information about Favorite Girl at the Parkway is available at theparkwaytheater.com.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up, Twin Cities? Welcome back. Another episode of Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. I'm JSE the Navigator, joined by L Boogie and Adon Data. Welcome. Welcome back this lovely spring evening. We got a lot to talk about. Always going to be talking about hip-hop. Maybe some sports. Some politics. A little bit of all of that. That's how we do it here on KFAI, Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. Welcome. Welcome back. What's up, crew? How y'all doing this evening?
Check one, two. Check one, two. How y'all feeling?
My mic hey. Sounds nice. Your mic sounds nice there, B.
We kind of use technology.
That's what's up. That's what's up. We like it. We appreciate it. A lot going on.
As per usual.
Per usual. Yes. Yes. Are we going to start with sports? Or do I have
Let's
to wait?
Let's do that.
Should we? Oh. Ooh.
Okay.
National.
I mean, the show.
What's that?
I mean, shoot the rock, man. Shoot the rock.
Okay. I'm stepping up for the Jay a la UConn last minute to get rid of Duke. My team, yeah. I had them in the Final Four. I didn't have them going all the way. A lot of upsets, definitely on the men's side. The national championship game for the women was played yesterday. That UCLA team, wow.
It was a scrimmage.
Oh, man. It was like your first team against our third team. I mean, it was, you know, it was like pros versus college on some levels. All respect due to Dawn Staley and a wonderful job she has done during her time at South Carolina, taking that program to the next level. Three consecutive national championship games played. Is that right? Or was it four?
No, that's right. They just went through that. I think it is a four.
Were they playing their fourth? They had already played three in a row. So she's turned that program around, but ran into a juggernaut, that UCLA team. What did they say? Six seniors that has scored the last 173 points that they scored as a team, which must have been throughout most of the tournament. I mean, they were pretty deep, but most of the scoring done apparently by the seniors. So shout out to UCLA for getting it done. Do they have four players that are going to come out in the WNBA draft, which I think is like a week or two from now? Is that what I heard? Players. B, did you mention that to me? Yeah. Something like that?
Players in the top 15 picks of the WNBA.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
They got killers. They got one of their players, their point guard, who has played in the most games of any other Bruin on the women's side. I can't remember her last name, but her brother plays for the Miami Heat.
God, I'm looking at her right now.
Uh-huh. Why you looked? It was a 79-51 blowout. Correct?
Oh, they handled it. I mean, it could have been more than that, really.
Yeah.
Clearly, from the tip off in that one, clearly South Carolina was undermanned in the sense of the height, size. They have a 6'7" center in the mix who what's that?
He's pretty good. We'll
very good, best. Very good. So yeah, they were. It was a tough match from tip off for the Carolina Gamecocks, South Carolina. But again, shout out to Dawn Staley for the work that she's done with that program, and shout out to UCLA. That was their first win, national championship win since 1979. So it had been a long time, but you know they looked like they were meant to be there, and apparently. They only lost one game this season, so clearly they were a top-tier squad. We had the conflict between Geno, the UConn's coach, and Dawn Staley in the Final Four game, UConn versus South Carolina. That was interesting. You know, emotions run high, a lot of pressure, a lot of passion, but got to be classy. Always got to be classy.
It's okay. You got whooped, you know? It's all right. These things happen.
I mean, man, how many championships you got, UConn? You know, let someone else step up. What's up with that?
Spread it out some. Spread the love.
That's right. That's right.
The UCLA center, Betts.
Mm-hmm.
She's 6'7".
6'7", yes.
She had said...
a baller.
Yeah, she had said, and I'm quoting her, I showed up at UCLA with zero confidence and wasn't sure if I wanted to really play basketball for that much longer.
Well, she had played at Stanford and then
somewhere else, but clearly. What I'm saying is she really was questioning herself and she went on to say that Coach Close really believed in me and wanted to see me accomplish everything that I've dreamed of they wanted me to see myself the way they all see me. And I feel like that now at this point, I can finally truly do that is what she said. And I think it's a very important message for all young gals out there playing basketball. And really, quite honestly, even women my age who don't play basketball is to see yourself the way other people see you is a very important message. Especially, I think it was a great way of her sharing that as it relates to basketball because it's, you know, people are really watching the men's brackets more than the women's brackets. But these women, these young ladies are amazing athletes.
I had great stories on that team. Her sister was also on the squad, which is part of the reason why she came back to play her senior year. How cool is it to play with her sister, Sienna Betts? There's also New Zealand native Maori player Charlize Lager Walker, Gabrielle Yaquez, her brother plays for the Miami Heat, Jaime Yaquez. So a lot of cool stories, you know, L.A. No, they were playing in Phoenix, but it seemed like a home game. All the Cali folks came down to support. So great win by the Bruins and no reason to hang your head for South Carolina.
No.
They have done some amazing things. And again, shots go out to both of those programs.
And they will continue to do great things.
Mm-hmm.
I had UCLA, I think, winning last year, but I can't recall. I know I had them going far because I've been behind them for a little bit. But what about the UCLA men's transitioning to March?
Are they
putting all the dough in the women's?
I think it's recruiting, it's your coaching, it's a little bit of all of that. Not really sure. You know, we haven't seen the last time the men's team did something. I'm trying to remember who was a part of that squad. You know, they got a story program. Let's not sleep on the UCLA.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, on the men's program. But, and of course, what's interesting now is they're in the Big Ten, have been in the Pac-10, Pac-12 for years. But in the reshuffling of conferences, the Big Ten, which is now 18 teams, why they're still called the Big Ten is beyond me. But a lot of good basketball going on. A lot of good basketball. It's that time of the year. March Madness running into April, and we got a national championship game tonight on the men's side.
Mm. Big game.
Yeah. My brackets got completely busted. I was doing real well. I was riding in first in both of my bracket challenge teams that I had rolling, and Duke's loss is what upended my lead role in both of those leagues. After Duke lost, it was a wrap. I started dropping from there. I did have Michigan in the Final Four. Michigan destroyed Arizona, which is another interesting development, where I knew Michigan was good because we watched them earlier in the season. Boog, you remember when they played Duke and just barely lost that game by 1 point. But I was like, wow, they some ballers. But they showed that they deserve to be there and a top-tier program. So the Wolverines, I think, are the favorites this evening against a UConn team that is made it through us as two seed and a one seed.
They blew out Arizona 91-73. They have their 7'3" center.
Yes.
Adai Mara.
Yes.
And
how many points? I think he scored like 25 points, something like that. What was it? It was a crazy number.
Yeah. Well.
What's that?
Saying he put it up. You look good.
Yeah.
Great hands.
Yeah. Amazing big man. Interior post play by the center for Michigan.
I mean, but UConn did a 19-point comeback against Duke.
They did. That
so
was
no joke.
Thank you for bringing that up again. Since two of the three folks on the Beast Rhymes and Democracy Crew roll for Duke. The other one is a Duke hater, and that's all right. You know, it's rivalries are what it's all about in sports.
And I've always been putting UConn up in my brackets, high up in my brackets. But this year, after watching and observing, you know, reading up on the teams and such, I just, my gut went with Michigan on our other league as winning, even though I usually favor UConn. And a lot of the winning, I've been a fan of UConn since the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sorry, Huskies.
You're rolling with Michigan? What's your pick for tonight, Mr. Buckner? Who you got?
I got Michigan.
I got to roll with Michigan. They were way too impressive against that Virginia team. The Virginia team that seemed kind of unstoppable. I mean, they had pretty much rolled through everyone they faced. I mean, Arizona. My bad. Yes, the Arizona team looked impressive, very impressive. Thanks for helping me out there. But that Michigan team also looked outstanding, and apparently they were the superior squad. Both of those, Michigan and UConn tonight for the national championship.
We're looking forward to it. You know, as long as Michigan's point guard doesn't try to shoot them out of the game like he did the other game. It was 2 of 14. In the first half.
Yeah, they also got an injury too. Who's the one cat on that squad that got injured?
Dahlberg or Dahlbrough?
Yeah, he's got a really unique name that escapes me right now. But at any rate, listen, those games were far more exciting than the last few Timberwolves games I watched.
Oh.
Man, what's up with our T-Wolves? What's up with y'all, man?
I want to wear my new coat to a game.
We riding for you. I got the Edwards jerseys, mm-hmm. and, you know, because I'm Edwards. So, but, man, I know the injury. We got the injury to Jane McDaniels and then Ant-Man as well. So, I don't know. I don't know. This is not the way you want to roll into the playoffs, y'all. I guess we're going to see how it all plays out. But
It feels like it's what the exhibition part of the season, or the big preseason, just seeing how the team shapes up kind of thing, testing out different players. That's how it feels to me.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty accurate characterization, to be honest, right? That's kind of how they see. They seem like they're starting out the season, filling things out, as opposed to, you know, a few games now before. I'm not sure how many games are left before the playoffs happen, but it seems. I mean, you talk about dropping your stock. They're down. Are they like the seven team now in the West?
They're locked into that six. I mean,
are they? Okay. All right.
Let me say it this way. They have not clinched, but they were 3.5 games up yesterday. I can't remember who's chasing us. The simple thing is that RA looked massive collapse. Minnesota will be playing as a sixth seed, most likely against LA. Most of this stuff is kind of locked in them. So,
I mean, it kind of feels like there has been a major collapse, you know?
Well, first and foremost, can we have the conversation about too many games? We need to stop playing all these games. No need. And then I would go directly into the conversation of, okay, let me just make sure I'm saying this right. Yeah, Minnesota's up 3 games on the Suns right now. I don't see the Suns catching them.
Okay.
And we're not going to catch the Rockets. You know, they're 3 games ahead of us there.
Man, and we had just caught up to them, played them well, handled them without Ant-Man in that amazing overtime victory where they went down, gave up a 16-point lead, and then won by 10 in overtime, which was like the first time a team had come back from 15 down to win 15 plus down to win in overtime. But yeah. And then the cat I was talking about, Jaxel Lendenborg that's the forward, 6'9" forward from Michigan, who's got a major injury, and we'll see how much time he plays, this evening for that Michigan team. But I still think Michigan, has a superior squad. So, but we will see. We will see. Should be good. What's that?
He's 22 years old and selling the shots. So we got to start there.
You know, what's interesting about there have been a few. I think they have two graduate students that are on that squad on that Michigan squad. So, yeah, it was interesting seeing that. You know, not only do we normally have a situation where you got players that are one and done, like clearly Cameron Boozer is going to be one of those cats. The other Boozer, he's probably going to be hanging around there for a minute, but Cameron's probably going to be one of those top tier picks. I think he's predicted to go top 5, top 2 or 3,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Man amongst boys, father played in the NBA. I think we talked about him before, so. But yeah, interesting stories. A lot of good basketball. Let's take a quick music break. Thank you for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, KFAI.org on the net, Radio Without Boundaries. We'll be right back, y'all.
Support for KFAI comes from The Wienery, proudly serving Chicago-style hot dogs, vegan dogs, and hand-cut french fries. With love on the West Bank for over 40 years.
Twin Cities, welcome back. Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. Celebrating the music this evening of two super producers. First out of the block is Diamond D, a.k.a. Joseph Kirkland, who celebrated a birthday yesterday, better known, of course, as Diamond D out of the Bronx, one of the founding members of Digging in the Crates crew. Grew up in Forest Homes, New York, in the Bronx. Credited for, again, another one of those producers that has impacted or worked with a lot of artists over the years, including Brand Nubian and Grand Puba. Worked with Tribe Called Quest on their Low End Theory. That particular album, let's see, who else? Several albums just solo albums with different artists. Tag team a lot with Large Professor. Recently did, in post-pandemic, did a project with Talib Kweli, Showbiz and AG, Laura Finesse, Fat Joe, House of Pain, The Alcoholics, DJ Polo, The Fugees was responsible for helping on the score, Cypress Hill, Kid Capri, and the list goes on and on. Another super producer that we're focusing on this eve. So,
Said Diamond D and Grand Puba?
Grand Puba was with the Brand Nubian crew. Oh,
okay.
And also had a solo album. And Diamond D was a part of the production early with a lot of different groups, you know, including Tribe. So one of them cats. If you've been digging in the crates, or you hip to that, I heard Diamond D. Shout out to Smoke D. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're enjoying this spring, beautiful spring evening in the Twin Cities. But I think back in the day when I was down in Atlanta, I got hip through Diamond D, a la Smoke D, when we were digging the crates and turn the Technique 1200s on. And see how we could blend. And Diamond D had a bunch of cold instrumentals for sure.
You know, there's so many names that I don't always connect to the music. That's why I always ask you repeat so that I can, you know, link a name with a sound and be reminded or educated. Sometimes it's before my time. Sometimes I missed it. I recognize Grand Puba.
Mm-hmm. But you recognize Grand Puba and the music, but you didn't necessarily know who was behind.
Correct.
You know, and a lot of times, you know, that's how it happens. The producers, they're producers that work with artists, a lot like Pete Rock, and CL Smooth. They had a crew, but Pete Rock worked for a lot of different folks. A lot of people didn't really know. Until later, me included, that Q-Tip had produced a bunch of records or different tracks for a lot of different artists. But yeah, hip hop is.
I mean, every genre has that in them, you know, like they talk about the Beatles behind many different musicians and music inspirations and songs. Mm-hmm. And they talk about, you know, and the Four Non-Blondes, that Linda Perry behind in pop music behind many, many talents, including Christina Aguilera. So these behind the scenes talented artists, but also producing great music and through other talented artists.
Mm-hmm.
Prince, he did a lot of that as well. He lifted up Sinead O'Connor with his own song.
Definitely. And that's, you know, I mean, to your point, pretty common collaboration across genres.
Dolly Parton's another one.
Yeah.
The Whitney Houston song.
Okay.
What's the one she sang for The Bodyguard?
I Will Always Love You.
Yes, that's okay. A Dolly Parton song.
Okay.
I love finding those kinds of connections. And Dolly Parton encouraged it. She thought, she encouraged Whitney Houston to sing that because she said she knew she wasn't going to be the only one that could sing the song in a beautiful way.
Mm-hmm.
And Whitney Houston took it to the next level.
Mm. Yeah, no. Interesting musicians that cross paths with different folks. And out of that comes, you know, some amazing collaboration and amazing music that we hear.
A transition a little bit, but kind of touching on this point, Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
Before a lot of his controversial things, mm-hmm. He was my top two favorite producers, writers, rappers, artists, etc. And he has his hands in a whole lot of stuff mm-hmm. behind the scenes before he himself made it big.
Mm-hmm.
And
produced a lot of tracks for Jay-Z, a lot of tracks, mm-hmm. collaborations with a lot of folks, including some of the folks that I'm profiling today. We have another producer that we'll play music for before we get up out of here. But you mentioned Kanye as a rapper, and I would be remiss if I didn't point out that Diamond D was also a rapper, not only producing tracks, not only coming up with the beats, but having the rhymes as well. You know, not all producers, not all super producers. DJ Premier, heck of a producer, amazing catalog. It seems like this spring I've been featuring a lot of different producers. DJ Premier, not known for rhyming, but amazing at pulling together some of the dopest beats in the history of hip hop, for sure. You know, starting with Gangsta.
Well, I brought up Kanye. Did you hear about his latest
antics?
Well, not so much his antics. You know, it's over in the UK, so
okay.
he's on tour.
All right,
and. He's now about to head over to the UK, and he's going to do the Wireless Festival,
okay.
July 10 and 12. But the sponsors are not happy.
Okay.
Pepsi withdrew their sponsorship of the festival because of Kanye.
Oh, wow. What happened? What did he do now?
Well, you know, karma is something. You know, you got live in a public life. You got to be careful what you take a stand on and the words you promote. And the things you stand behind in the public space. And his episode, he says, due to, you know, whether, you know, this is just his words, his 4-month-long manic episode of psychotic and paranoid and impulsive behavior that destroyed his life due to bipolar led him to make anti-Semitic remarks.
Oh.
And
yeah.
That is what's coming back to haunt him in England, because they are facing a lot of anti-Semitism issues right now, a lot, you know, all over the world, of course. But, you know, they've had a recent synagogue attack and 2 men died. They had a torching of four ambulances run by a Jewish community service in Northwest London. So there's a lot happening right now that is the tensions are rising. Bad timing to bring Yee to the UK. So sponsors are pulling out. Pressure is mounting for him to be dropped as the headliner.
Oh.
Ouch. But Again.
Your words hurt. They mean something. You got to be careful how you use them. For sure.
Be more careful.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad.
I mean, honestly.
No, I mean, is it? Go ahead.
Happened to a nicer.
What's that?
It happened to a nicer guy.
But, you know, just saw that headline come through, and, you know, since we're talking rappers and all that, I was transitioning over to that because, again, I was listening to this episode on the news, and it was talking about how sometimes when we're in our lives, sometimes we don't always make connections to our current actions and words and our future state, our future selves, and making broader connections. And they were talking about that as a connection to some of the words that y'all's commander-in-chief has been using lately to describe current situations. And they were saying, we don't know if he really makes these connections, that what he says and then how he changes his words day to day and his positions day to day, if he really understands the impact that has on a longer-term strategy and reputation. In my head, as I'm watching that, I was like, I don't think he cares. But, you know, anyway, so your words and your actions do leave an imprint, folks.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Does not care one bit, so.
No. I think it's a lack of connection due to an ego as well as not caring.
Yeah, no, I'm waiting on the cabinet to actually step up and do the twin tests.
There's a lot of words around that right now.
Well, I'm not saying empowerment.
Did we talk about that? Did we talk? We haven't talked about the departure of a couple cabinet members now. I mean, we talked about Crispity Gnome, but Pam Bondi got the
two women
got the pink slip too.
Well, I'm not saying they didn't deserve it, but they're easy targets for a misogynistic administration.
They definitely so. Well, Trump got rid of her because she did not provide as much carnage about his political. As he wanted, and so that, no, that's just him on that one. Crispity Gnome, on the other hand,
deserved it.
I think she just became too big. She was much bigger than him, and was a distraction, especially when it came down.
Are we talking about the?
I think you clear. You put. The,
I think he's you're
breaking in and breaking up. B. I mean, are we talking about the sex plane that's going on?
That's the least of her
cross-dressing by her husband.
I mean, you know, I come from a place of just having some empathy for him because obviously he had some things happen in his life that maybe didn't allow him to be his full self. But, I mean, she's had some things come to light. She was no angel. She was misusing taxpayer funds.
Clearly.
And having a really out-in-the-open affair. And
on the sex plane.
Yeah, well, you know, she wanted that plane. I don't know if she got it, from my understanding.
Yeah.
But she got it.
She got it. Okay, it was very nice. It was well decorated. She had a comfy bed with a nice, you know, furry blanket for coziness.
But meanwhile, I mean, this person living on a taxpayer dime, having an affair, while she's flying on a taxpayer dime, while she's flying, who also was a high ranking official in the administration, in the department, right? And here you are going across the U.S. with zero compassion or humanity for anybody, and you are all wrong up in the skies flying around. What kind of lunacy have we arrived at where you know,
I mean,
what was it called? What was she called? Something Barbie? What'd they call her?
I don't even want to do that because I think she likes that. So I'm not even gonna say it.
She had a nickname, but clearly things were far deeper and crazier than we could have ever imagined. First of all, seeing this woman show up and disrespect a sitting senator who was manhandled and arrested as he was trying to ask questions as his city was occupied. The audacity to just
about?
I'm talking about the I can't remember the senator's name.
What state?
Is it from California? When she was he tried to ask questions
about Padilla, right?
He tried to ask Senator Padilla. He tried to ask questions, was ushered out, manhandled by Department of Homeland Security knuckleheads, completely dismissed, disrespected. She didn't care. She just kept rolling on to abuse the next folks. So, I mean, karma is a B, right, at the end of the day. And karma came down full wrath on Kristi Noem, for sure.
There's so much misuse of our taxpayer funds happening. There's so much grifting. There's so much. That's the strategy, though, folks. That's what they want. They want it to be chaotic and so much that we just are not paying attention or too exhausted to care or feel too exhausted or defeated to even put up a fight. But they underestimated that. We've shown that. You know, Pam Bondi was probably one of the few more credible people that he had in his cabinet that had more experience for the role than many other folks that were in his cabinet for their appointed roles. And
meanwhile, she did not release the Epstein files.
No,
meanwhile, she didn't do anything to protect the citizenry from the comb over in chief wannabe dictator. So, yeah, I mean, she may have had some of the credentials, but her leadership was awful.
Yeah, I don't argue with that. I'm just...
For us.
Go ahead.
Okay, for us, yes. But for what they're doing, this is a bank robbery that's taking place. That's all it is. So, I mean, we just have to remind ourselves why they're there. They're there to cause this chaos and confusion.
But the self-righteousness of these individuals, I mean, I just think
that everybody
indignant.
Believes that they're his best friend and they're untouchable until they become used, washed up in his play
and
tossed and discarded. They are tools in his bigger game. And for anybody to not realize that early on, they're blinding themselves to this narcissist who's in charge.
True.
And I don't wish an embarrassing public firing on anyone. But you know, I think there's, you know, I'm like, okay, who's next? And they're talking.
Is it Cash Patel?
No, they're talking Tulsi Gabbard, of course, is
okay.
A female.
What about Pete Hegseth?
Oh, my gosh.
All these characters. I think
that
I have
dude, is there a 25th Amendment to get him out?
Goodness.
He is dangerous.
I have worked myself in the knee for a music break. Thank you for tuning in to another
episode.
Hair
now.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI. 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, KFAI.org, on the net, Radio Without Boundaries. We'll be right back.
Sexy. Okay, yeah, that's a self. Don't wait to get with you.
Sound full of myself a rule, but you ain't looking at no other dudes, cause you love me.
I'm sorry, baby. So sexy.
So you think about a chance, you find yourself trying to do my dance, maybe cause you love me.
You do it well.
So then we try.
Singing a slow down because you weren't used to how fast we touched.
We touched.
Then we locked eyes.
And I knew I wasn't there, and I was gonna tell. Know that I'm carrying on. Never mind if I'm showing off. I was just frontin'.
You know I want you, babe.
I'm ready to bet it on, unless you don't care at all. But you know I.
chum. Tell her you gon' call my ass how it was, and she's gon' love it. Whoa, whoa. Yeah, yeah.
So then we tried.
I'm thinking I slow down because you weren't used to how fast we touched.
Fast we touched.
Then we locked eyes.
Support for KFAI comes from the Dakota, presenting Takuya Kuroda on Thursday, April 9th. The Japanese trumpeter is back with his genre-blending jazz and his latest album, Every Day, that dives even deeper into his unique fusion of hip-hop, funk, and neo-soul. More information about Takuya Kuroda at the Dakota can be found at dakotacooks.com.
We do this in our sleep.
Never been in love before. I wanna holler at you, Mike. You know it's hard for a player to admit that sometimes, but I'ma spit that sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Hey, P, give it to me one time, nephew.
There's something about this girl, and from around my way. Ever try to hold back your feelings? But it just wouldn't stay. But when I finally found the words to say,
yes, sir, that's her. But it wasn't like that back when I met her.
What?
The lavish life from all the dose fun. Before the double R had to hitchhike thumb.
What?
Her friends didn't like us, but I arrested the c***ing and the feelings got covered. Spiderweb sex must have got caught up.
What?
But there's more to it. I remember once saying less on the peons. Let's go to Vegas and watch Celine Dion. Make them say what we on.
What?
You say no like you was doing it for eons. Did I just hum and let the watch give off the neons? When it rains, it pours. I laugh to myself when I change the story. You said my sex was a lot, but my brain gave you more. And something about how your ex was a toy. I guess he played games. There's only diamond dice here, not trying to justify. But when you shut your eye, you can touch the sky. You in trouble, ma. And you should pray about speed. But it's just about you. What that say about me? But when I finally found a way.
All right, Twin Cities, welcome back. Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. That was none other than Skateboard P. Pharrell Williams, another super producer. What were they doing? What was in the water down in Virginia Beach? Right, because Teddy Riley, right, had a studio down that way. He discovered Pharrell. You got Timberland, who I didn't realize, but is a cousin of Pharrell's, right? They were getting it done. You know, go-go music, because Timberland always kind of had very percussive sounds, very much so hip to go-go. You were down that way, Mr.
That's
Buckner,
right,
down in Hampton, but maybe they were born around the time they had all those Black College Weekend events down in Virginia.
Really good youth programming.
Yes, something. They must have had studios or something. But Skateboard P, also known, of course, as Pharrell Williams, first came out via the Neptunes, and the Neptunes were a real unique vibe. You know, Nerd, I had a one track I was going to play. El Boog didn't like that track, so I rebooted. But Pharrell has had an amazing career, including, you know, not only winning Grammys, but, you know, for and receiving accolades for his journey as a hip hop artist. But how do you end up doing soundtracks for kids movies? Despicable Me, Because I'm Happy, the Happy song, which is world known song, right, across the globe. Shout out to the producers out there. Pharrell also showed has some chops, could rap, mix it up with Snoop Dogg. Done a lot of collaborations, too many, won't even get into it right now. But the producers are cats who make it sound good. Pharrell is one of those guys born April 5th, 1973, in Virginia Beach. They do it. They kind of had, you know, they had a little bit, you know, Virginia, the D.C. area is kind of on the Mason-Dixon line. So there's a little, you had to go too far south before you get that kind of southern vibe. Southern Virginia, Hampton Roads, Virginia Beach area kind of have that unique vibe. But, you know, it's still East Coast, right? So real interesting journey as a producer. You know, having made his impact and mark on hip hop. Pharrell, happy belated birthday to you as well.
Happy birthday, skateboard key. Mm-hmm. Now we get that one.
Yeah, well, but he also had the clothing line. What was it called? The
Billionaires Boys Club or something like that.
You know, fashion and hip hop. Always adjacent, the look, the vibe, you know, FUBU and LL and, you know, you name it. Sean Carter has some sneakers. Other folks had gear, Dre Beats, you know what I mean? They're going to upsell expand their influence, you know, beyond the music and be entrepreneurs in other areas as well.
Good for them.
Yeah,
like I said, they must have had some, you know, really good folks around them to really push that creativity when they were younger, and good, I don't know, you know, to let them have that creative outlet.
Agreed.
I mean, that's hip hop.
Yeah,
hip hop was never, it wasn't in a community center. That was in the basement.
Yep.
And I think when, you know, as the Navigator was talking about what really brought all that vibe and that energy together. You got to remember, it is the cross-section of everything. It is, you know, not only the coast from New York and Boston and everything else all the way down to Miami, Florida and everything, and especially with the military presence of Norfolk and Hampton Roads area, you know, that you have coming not across the country, but across the globe, sharing their whole little bit. And yes, Go-Go has a part to it as well. But,
I mean, it's a shout out to the. Go ahead.
I was gonna say you just have that great intersection at that point.
Yeah, it's a shout out to the parents or the aunties, the grandparents, whoever that gave the boys or the gals or those folks who are involved their living room or their basement or the bedroom or the equipment just to keep allowing young creative minds to find their channel, their outlet. That brings them joy. I think it's such an important piece.
You know, as I'm...
You knew what happened.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the first check that they got, they were like, oh, yeah, boy, keep spinning.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, I'm just kind of checking the career here, some of the Wikipedia info, and apparently Pharrell helped form a group that was called Surrounded by Idiots, Chad Hugo, who was eventually was a part of the Neptunes. The group included Pharrell, Chad Hugo, Magoo, and Cousin Timberland. So they started that group in the early 90s. They disbanded the group before they made any records, you know, and then, you know, Timberland, of course, we know, went on to have his career starting out, Timberland and Magoo. And then the Neptunes and Pharrell went a different path, but both have had, or all those cats have had amazing success, out of the coastal Virginia.
That's right. Get your crab cakes. Let's go.
That's what's up.
Before we get off, we got to talk about 25. Before all this happens, we got to make, if the House and the Senate flips over in November, our question to everybody and to us in the studio, do you think that Trump resigns after the election day?
Wow. That's something to think about. I have a feeling, based on the fact that there was an attempted coup the last time this dude was made to leave because of electoral result, where, you know, Mike Pence was a smart man. You know, he didn't get into that vehicle they had waiting for him. He knew something. He knew something wasn't right. Right. And when you think about, you know, how many folks could be culpable in this situation, because, you know, the Proud Boys, the way in which that whole thing went down, where they didn't have enough officers, they didn't have enough Secret Service folks, they didn't have enough boots on the ground to handle that insurrection. I don't know. Maybe that could happen.
No.
You know,
that would, no, sorry, you're talking, but talking a lot. But what I'll add, I'm going to interject here for sake of time too, is he won't, because that would mean he has to admit defeat.
Mm.
They're going to have to take him out beforehand.
Okay.
And they're going to have to, because, I mean, his completely unfiltered, crazy text sent on Easter Sunday with F-bombs and everything about, and war crime insinuating verbiage. If that isn't a sign that this person is losing his grip, then I don't know what is. Because come on, people, you got to do something now before it's too late. And I'm hoping that they do that before it's too late. And you got to do it before November. And we've got it. I mean, he's threatening on Tuesday. Now he's known as Taco, you know. I don't like to say his name. So always chickens out. Hmm. T always chickens out. Let's hope he chickens out tomorrow with his threats to bring Iran to the Stone Age. But if that's not a sign, I know there was a couple members have already been looking into it. But if that's not a sign, you need to really take this with some seriousness before it's too late. I don't know what else you're waiting on, because this is not a calm, cool, collective leader that's thinking strategically. This is erratic behavior, and he's venting via social media with some very serious threats. So please invoke the 25th prior to that midterm election, because this is scary.
Flood the zone.
I always remind people, if this individual was just an everyday citizen,
right,
and he was to send a text like that to another family, what would you do? You would literally take that note to the police and say, oh, I got a problem. Can you arrest this cat? Because that's a threat. And there's no way that this individual should be able to get away with it, nor this cabinet. Again, you have a bunch of sycophants that who are just, they're here to kiss the emperor. And that's
there's so much corruption and so much going on, and it just, he's writing his own termination letter. So by through the actions and words. So we'll see if they have a spine to, if any of the GOP have a spine to be able to back something like that if somebody brings it forward. I am, put out your medicine, you know, pray, do whatever you need to do. But folks, this is getting scary. So with 7 minutes left on a lighter note, I think they were hoping Armitage too would maybe break through the headlines and take over as something that people want to pay more attention to. You should. They may break the record for Apollo 13 in distance around the moon.
Mm.
Yep. That will be done.
There's his greatest, his headline distraction for this time period. But, you know, it deserves some people. It deserves our attention. So check out the Armistice too. I don't have any updates because we're on, you know, right at this moment. But
any updates on any kind of charges being brought forward for Kid Rock and the helicopters?
Oh, that was dropped. Pete Hegseth said done with it. So that's done.
Oh, wow.
That's old news.
They got rid of that.
Yeah, done with that. But speaking of charges, ICE They have some new video evidence showing ICE is lying about what they did to a Venezuelan gentleman here in North Minneapolis. Did you hear about that, B?
Yeah. I have not heard
about that. I think I heard about that, resulted in the shooting.
The guy in the lake happened in the north.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. I also heard that a military member of the military.
Okay, but hold on. Let's finish out the one point. Okay. Not doing headlines here.
Okay, go ahead.
But they have video evidence that contradicts, of course, ICE's reports about what went down in North Minneapolis and the gentleman they were pursuing from Venezuela. So,
really?
Yeah, so that's good for us.
I'm shocked. But as I had to explain to somebody the other day, I was like, look, it took North Minneapolis to do what North Minneapolis does.
Nope.
And they messed around and found out, you know, all of a sudden people losing, you know, squad cars and information and everything else. The whole thing started to turn right then. Because people said, enough is enough. You know, y'all about to find out what Northside's about. And boom and boom and got to go. And less than a handful of weeks later, know, with everything that went on, y'all gotta go.
I mean,
so shout out to the North. I always standing up, standing yes, on business on that.
Yes, shout out to them. I remember, you know,
couldn't help it.
Yeah, well, as the Fox News reporter in chief, or whatever they want to call him, Secretary of War, says, is, you know, mess around and find out. That's what happened in North Minneapolis. They messed around and found out. So I'm going to keep my eye on that. I'm eager to, you know, as Moriarty and whoever her successors would be is building their case against this administration, specifically around the activities. They also pressed charges against two bounty hunters who were pointing their guns at some of the peaceful protesters. So there's things starting to spin and move, and I'm going to keep my eye on that because we need accountability to close. It won't close out this chapter necessarily, but it will help bring some.
Well, at least it will help create some guardrails for moving forward, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you can't just blatantly violate people's human and civil rights like they have in the past here.
Mm.
Yeah, well, you know, the biggest question is where we're going to go next and how we're going to do this together. We've given away our whole advantage as a society. Americans are now number 2, 3, and 4 instead of what we were doing. It wasn't an invasion from China or North Korea or Russia. That was done internally, probably at the behest of China, but that's another discussion.
We came together. Hopefully we can continue to do that in this city, is find commonality where we can keep coming together like that for the greater good.
Mm-hmm. Well,
about that game time, Brent.
It's about that game time. About that time for us to get up out of here. Thank you, Twin Cities, for tuning in to another episode of Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy.
Have a beautiful, safe night, folks.
Shout out to Pete Lee.
And
shout out up next is Health Notes. We'll be back next week, y'all. We out.
Is supported in part by the Minnesota Lottery. Funds from the lottery support environmental projects, retailers, state programs, and more. It all adds up to a better Minnesota. More information is online at mnlottery.com/playingourpart.